W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Wendy Gillette. CBS News has learned the documents found at President Biden's former office in Washington included top secret material. None of the materials found at his home were marked top secret. The White House is pledging complete cooperation one day after the Attorney General appointed a special counsel to investigate how President Biden handled the documents. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We are going to continue to fully cooperate. We have been the president's lawyers and team has been fully cooperating with the Department of Justice, and they're certainly going to do that with the special counsel.
In November, Garland appointed a special counsel to investigate former President Donald Trump. Today, Trump's company was fined $1.6 million for tax evasion. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg.
This historic sentencing serves, or should serve, as a reminder to all in New York, both companies in their corporate form and their executives, that this type of conduct in New York will not be tolerated and will be held accountable.
Severe weather is impacting parts of the South and West.
In the South, the same storms that hit California last week are now causing havoc in places like Alabama. There are tornadoes. Dale Brown saw rooftops flying in Montgomery.
Well, I looked out and saw that there was roofing in our backyard. There was roofing beside our house. There was roofing in front of our house. All over, messes everywhere.
Meanwhile, in California, after a one-day break, the Golden State, especially the San Francisco Bay Area, is being hit again by rain. There is renewed concern about mudslides and rivers overflowing. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
A warning that the U.S. must act soon so it doesn't default on its debts. Here's CBS News reporter Sarah Ewall Weiss.
In a letter to congressional leaders, Secretary Janet Yellen said the U.S. is expected to hit the debt limit January 19th. The Treasury Department will start using so-called extraordinary measures to keep paying the bills, but Yellen is calling on Congress to act, writing the cash and measures could run out as early as June.
A small town in Germany is being demolished so an open-pit coal mine can be expanded, angering climate change activists, including Greta Thunberg.
I think it's absolutely absurd that this is happening the year 2023. It is the most affected people are clear, the science is clear. We need to keep the carbon in the ground, and Germany is really embarrassing itself right now.
Stocks finished with gains just before the three-day holiday weekend. The Dow was up 112 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. There may be a partial solution to the problem of affordable housing in Wisconsin. Since the 1960s, local governments have zoned many districts to be exclusively for single-family homes. Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Jerry DeShane, tells Wisconsin Public Radio tweaking these codes could help solve the housing crisis because offering flexibility for multifamily housing units and mixed-use housing developments would address many issues. More money being invested in helping Wisconsin veterans and their families. Governor Evers and Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary James Bond announced grant awards to provide financial assistance, entrepreneurship training, and other services to improve employment opportunities. Universities, homeless assistance organizations, and veteran centers were among the recipients of the $420,000 in grants. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get afternoon.
Let's remind Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Maybe pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, I want to welcome everyone to this special edition of Native Roots Radio. And we are with Winona LaDuke, and we're going to be talking about the Rally for the Rivers reunion. And I'm so excited to see you, Winona. It's a great cloud, though, and we want to get things straight and get it out to our people, what's going on. And so totally stoked to see you, and we're all looking good here. But let's talk a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today, Winona. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and glad to see you too, Robert. Hey, we got some good people coming on, good water protectors, good Minnesotans, good Anishinaabe people whose crime it seems to be defending the rivers. And so this is the second anniversary of a bunch of us getting charged in Aiken County by Aiken County. And oh gosh, there's all kind of police officers there and all kind of state highway patrol and DNR guys, all paid for by Enbridge. And we still got charges. I got charges. And so I'm here because I'm wondering how come I got charges in Aiken County and Wadena County. In total, I think I got like 7 charges I'm still facing. And how come Enbridge isn't facing any charges? That's kind of the question I got. And so I think there's some other people that might have some questions, like how does a company get to come in here, steal 5 billion gallons of water, basically prostitute the police of the state of Minnesota, frack all those rivers, and go away, and they're still doing pretty good. So we're here to listen to some people that were there on the rivers.
It's such a weird thing, and you know, the question mark, it should be a big question mark, Winona. We're talking about people getting charges sent to them in their mail. How does that work?
I was charged by, I think, a video of somebody who said that I think I was charged with not being in the right place. And, you know, I mean, I'm just like trying to figure out, like, they used all kind of ways to try to encumber people in this process. And you have to wonder if, you know, all that money that they got from Enbridge kind of, you know, made it more interesting to try to charge more people. You know, I don't really know, but that's a question I might ask the state of Minnesota. Is like, why were 1,000 people charged with the crime of protecting the water when the corporation that violated all of our rights, you know, is still, you know, got a slap on the wrist, you know, but geez, they're still operating and they're holding us all hostage. We got like pipelines all across the north, all around the Great Lakes. These guys are holding us hostage and no one wants to ask the question like how that happened. So today we're going to talk about not only what happened, but we're going to have some lawyers on. We're going to talk about the cases, the charges, and a bunch of people like myself who were charged and are like, I think I want my charges dropped and I want a medal, you know, a medal for protecting the rivers. That's what I want. Just waltz just one more time. No charges. And I want to be honored for being a water protector, not being treated like a criminal.
Exactly. You know, and there was ceremony going on. There was things going on. Winona, can we talk about just the rudeness of the police? And, you know, we go back to Standing Rock, but you also go back to the to North Dakota fight for uranium? And, you know, what's changed other than social media?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'd say that this is more aggressive than my in my history, you know, and I've been around a long time, man. I'm old. But, you know, I never saw anything like what I saw this last couple of years, which kind of is like late stage addiction issues, like where you just got to have that pipeline because you feel like it's going to be the thing you need. And we didn't even get the oil from it, but you just ramp everything up. And they learned from Standing Rock, $38 million worth of military repression against people out there. And then Minnesota's like, well, we aren't going to do that. We're just going to let, you know, Enbridge pay for it. And so, you know, for instance, I was charged, you know, being in my lodge. I was on my in my lodge on the Mississippi River. And then they put the no trespassing signs up as I was sitting in the lodge and then charged me with trespassing. And I was like, who's trespassing? And I was told by a DNR officer, normal people. No, he said normal people. I said, is that a legal designation? I mean, this is like a made up bunch of laws for a Canadian corporation. And I'm mad as heck. And I want some accountability. And you know, it's a shame that Minnesota didn't learn anything from George Floyd and instead militarized the North as well, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're all over Turtle Island, and we'll be playing this on Native Roots Radio, which is all over. We're Wisconsin. We're on 12 stations live. We got a big coverage in Wisconsin. Winona, they need to be aware of Line 5 because we saw what happened to us in Line 3, correct?
Right, and people are going to come on the show today to talk about exactly how egregious the crime is by Enbridge against Mother Earth and against people. We got people who have been doing the job of the state of Minnesota out there checking the water, you know, when the state should be checking that and and finding out what's going on. And then we got, you know, the fact that they are brash. I mean, they're mad at in Wisconsin that the Bad River Band has said you got to pull the pipe out. You know, because they're trespassing for all these years in the prime watershed, the only place these people got. And then in addition, did you see that Enbridge actually ran someone for the governor? I mean, they ran Tim Michaels for the governor of Wisconsin. Now, he didn't win, but geez, that's getting like super brash when you not only control the police of one state, but then you run someone for the governor. And so I think this is a really dangerous corporation for the state of Minnesota and, you know, not just Anishinaabe people, but for all of us. So that's right. Deport Enbridge. There's our fearless Jill Ferguson. I mean, that is it, you know. Deport that Canadian corporation. And there's more Canadian corporations where that one came from. But, you know, so much for saying the Canadians are nice. I'm calling BS on that one.
Hey, Winona, that's for our radio audience listening to this. Let's get the call to action out there. HonorEarth.org/stop-Enbridge. That's HonorEarth.org/stop-Enbridge. We need people that need to, it's a call to action. Jump on that page and see what you can do, correct?
No, that is exactly right. Please do. Please jump on the page, and then we're going to give you some more resources to look at. But, you know, a lot of us are still facing charges in Aiken County. You know, and what's up, Aiken County? Why won't you just let us go? Acknowledge us for being the heroes that we are instead of continuing to pursue us in Aiken County, you know? So please go to the call of action here and join with us in challenging, you know, the unjustness of all of this, how an energy corporation, a rogue corporation, gets to arrest a bunch of people for the benefit of making some profits at the end of the fossil fuel era in a time of climate crisis. You know, I was like, this is egregious. This is totally egregious. So, you know, I'm glad that we're on here today. We're going to be talking to some cool people, like some of my favorite people of all are on today. And you know, in the age of StreamYard or whatever this is, you get to see your friends without traveling way up there into the bush, wherever it is that my friend Tara Hauske is.
Yeah.
You can see her right here.
Yeah, well, I'm revving up my teepee and going to, she's got the land back going on up there. That's beautiful. So, you know, we got like a minute left before we take a quick station break here, Winona. One of the things that I really want to ask you, and maybe we can ask the lawyers, I feel like from my comfortable little couch here in St. Paul, Minnesota, that you are being used as an example. What do you think about that?
Oh, let me just give you a perfect example. On Wadena County, Shell River, I'm appointed by the tribe as a guardian ad litem for the Shell River. I camp on the Shell River. I'm arrested with six other women on the Shell River. Charges are dropped against all of those women except for me. I was like, and I'm still facing, I'm facing 5 years in prison for the charges of being a water protector. You know, and a lot of those are out of Wadena County. And so, yeah, I don't understand why they would not, you know, they dropped the charges against all the other cool people who came to defend the river from someplace else. But no, Wadena County has to keep me right in there, you know. And so I do feel like, you know, what are you trying to do? Make a case out of it, you know, and say, look, you know, to see what happens if you're like Winona, you're going to spend time in jail. So 5 years is what I'm looking at, state of Minnesota. You know, I mean, this is, it's totally ridiculous that I would face these charges. And my, you know, my case is, you know, there are young people facing serious felony charges that they're trying to destroy their lives. And that's wrong. You know, that's wrong. You know, our lives should not be destroyed for a multinational energy corporation. You know, we're doing the right thing. And I'm proud to be a water protector. And really glad to be here today to share with, you know, a bunch of other folks on a little bit of our story.
Exactly. Hey, Winona, we're going to take a quick 15-second station break for our outside listeners to do what they need to do and give their radio calls. But we're going to come back in 15 seconds starting now. Hey, we're with Winona LaDuke.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, we're coming back here. We're with Winona LaDuke, and we are, you know, part of me is, it's hard for me to say, Winona, it feels like a celebration, but it's really not a celebration. It's not a celebration at all. We are here protecting Mother Earth, and we are talking about our rally for the Rivers Reunion, you know, and we have guests coming on here, and we have Frank, and I want to hand this over to
you. My attorneys are here. Thank God.
I want to hand this over to you in the next 10 minutes and take it from here, because I think there's really some important questions and answers that need to happen. And we just lost Winona. How did we do that? Well, somebody removed you. Do you mind taking this segment over, Winona?
These are a couple of my favorite people. They're saving me from that jail time right now. So we have Claire Glenn. She came to work from us with us and has been taking a lot of these Line 3 cases, and we're very grateful to her. She's been my attorney in Aiken. And then Frank Bebo, attorney for most of the tribal water protectors. And so you guys, there were a lot of people charged, and a number of those cases have been dropped or dismissed. Is that right? And then some of them, you know, tribal members in a different situation. Anyway, tell us a little bit about it.
All right, I'll just start a little bit. You know, Line 3 goes through a lot of northern Minnesota, and a lot of what it went through was through Chippewa-ceded territories, and people were transferred under the setup that we had to a lot of the counties along the route of Line 3. But we had two counties that were a little more resistant. One was Hubbard, and that seems to have come along. And Aiken County is still standing out there and doesn't want to really look at things in the right way. And so we're dealing with Aiken County right now today. The tribal water protectors in many of these counties were transferred over to Whiters Tribal Court and Red Lake Tribal Court. That paused for a while, and we're going to get that restarted because there are tribal members who haven't had their cases transferred. But that's one of the big differences, the way we use tribal sovereignty here versus Standing Rock. And so by using those tribal rights of Manoman, the right to travel, use, and occupy, we were preparing for what we saw happen at Standing Rock. But obviously there was a lot more that happened here. And so we're still plugged in for the future. You look at the Wadukawad people, they're working on all the infrared flyover information for the thermal imaging, where all the water has fracked out from all these river crossings that still need to be addressed, and Line 5. And so the work that we've done is going to continue over to Line 5, and that's what's important here as well. I'll let Claire talk about some of this now.
Thanks, Frank. And thanks for having us, Robert, and for that kind introduction, Winona. You know, Winona really highlighted how during pipeline construction, the law enforcement response to water protectors here was really extreme and was meant to suppress and scare protesters. Hundreds of people were arrested and jailed, and ultimately about 1,000 criminal cases were filed, which is a lot when we're talking about rural northern Minnesota. We're now, you know, about 1 to 2 years out, and there are only about 100 criminal cases that are still open. And, you know, there's a few different reasons for that. Some people have fought their cases in court and won. Shanai Madison, who I know is going to be on later, had an amazing victory mid-trial because the court recognized there was so little evidence against her that the court just dismissed the case in the middle of the trial. We've also seen, you know, prosecutors in other counties, as Frank mentioned, that have been, you know, seeing the writing on the wall, and I think recognizing the damage that Enbridge did. And so water protectors in some counties have been able to negotiate dismissals. And, you know, of course, it hasn't been all roses. And there have been some serious criminal sanctions that people have faced, and people are still being targeted and paying the price.
Wow. You know, how many people in the last year or 2 years have been, you know, how many cases are still open? This is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I would note, too, that, you know, Aiken County is one of the most egregious counties in a lot of different ways. It's a county where we saw some of the most extreme and egregious policing. And it's also a county where we have, you know, of those 100 cases that are still open across the state, almost half of those are in Aiken County alone. You know, Aiken County is a place where the sheriff was the leader of the Northern Lights Task Force, which was formed to coordinate policing across jurisdictions. And we've gotten public records requests that have shown that the Sheriff Gaida in Aiken County and other Northern Lights Task Force members were directly coordinating with Enbridge representatives on everything from trying to influence the reimbursements that police were receiving to trainings and intelligence and surveillance. You know, and more recently, Sheriff Gaida even detained and threatened to arrest two attorneys simply for trying to serve him with a subpoena for him to testify in one of these water protector cases, which is normally a routine task in any criminal case. I would encourage folks to check out the reporting that Simon Davis Cohen has done in multiple articles in Truth Out. And I think those will be linked at some point. But he's done some really stellar investigative journalism exposing law enforcement specifically in Aiken County, and I really encourage folks to check out his work.
So, Frank, can we talk a little bit about the cases that have been won and what the heck? I mean, people have been sent tickets in the mail for looking at them in social media. I mean, can we talk a little bit about that?
Well, the cases that have been won that I would call being won were starting to work through the pipeline at White Earth Tribal Court. We had set up jurisdiction across the 1855 ceded territory. A lot of these tribal water protectors cases were transferred to White Earth. The White Earth prosecutor went through with the cases. Claire represented a number of those water protectors. And ultimately, the tribal judge also issued a decision explaining how our tribal rights actually work. Treaties are the supreme law of the land, and dismissed those cases properly at White Earth. Judge Metzen, who's handling most of the tribal water protectors, she's recognized that White Earth was following through on those prosecutions, and those counties were in acceptance of that, and we're trying to get back onto that track. But that's really, in a way, the most important part for me, because the second phase of that, which we hadn't had a chance to get to yet, and it has been tried, is the invited guest defense. Because if we have treaties and we have a right to hunt, fish, and gather the natural resources across the lands, then like other places where they consider them property, they consider those property rights, then we should have the right to defend our property. And if you have a house or a home that's on fire and you want someone to help you, your friends to help you defend your property and put the fire out, they're invited guest defense. And that's what these people were, all of these water protectors. They also had a spiritual calling. You know, it's a different calling. It happened at Standing Rock as well. And so really, you're talking about First Amendment rights. You're talking about the American Indian Religious Freedoms Act. And those are the kind of concepts that we've been using to combat this, and why a lot of these cases have been dismissed along the way. And the ones that haven't, there's been a nice pool of attorneys from across the United States who have been helping out here. And they've had various strategies going forward and still going forward. And we're having cases dismissed and getting a lot better deals. And there'll be discussion about how that's going on as well. So while this is going on, we have been strengthening sovereignty along the way. This isn't what happened at Standing Rock. And we're not done, because our ceded territories here, for those of us who are Ojibwe or Anishinaabe or Chippewa, our ceded territories go from North Dakota to Michigan. And so we're plugged into defending our resources in and across Wisconsin and right over into Michigan across the waters. So, you know, I think the people are prepared to stand up more when they know that there's a legal defense for their rights. We couldn't stop the police because the police were being funded ahead of time. And that's a critical part here. Police don't necessarily enforce laws. They make a judicial call by the road when they've got someone. When you're being funded to do this, you're just throwing any discretion out the window, and you're doing what Enbridge was paying for. That's the real concern. Finally, the point I want to make about what's coming with Aiken is the Talon Mine, Tamarack, Rio Tinto, whatever you want to call it. They call it the Green New Deal, but the Green New Deal relies on resources that are very, very hard to find, and unfortunately are in northern Minnesota, and that's why we have all these mining cases going on and all the endangering of the waters in the same exact way. In this case, you've got both Line 3 and Talon Mine in the same county. And the same place that got funded for Line 3 wants to get funded to defend Aiken County for the mining.
Hey, I got a quick question. We got like 2 minutes left. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. How can someone like Winona still be up for charges when she was correct? I mean, we have all those frack outs. We have pipelines leaking. How is that even logical?
Well, you know, we think of things being legal and legitimate. The problem is we're usually not interacting with the court system very frequently. We're not criminals, so we misunderstand how the legal system and process works. What really happens is things that are unlawful, like the pollution of Minnesota, are legitimized by the PUC, by the DNR, by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. That's where the problem really lies. And so we're falling into this category where those people are allowing the worst polluters to go out and do this. Even if they're fined $14 million, we're going to pay at the pump to pay pay for their fine.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has learned documents found at President Biden's former office in Washington included top secret material. The White House also faces questions about transparency as the president is investigated over his handling of the documents. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
They have decided for now here at the White House to be legally transparent with the Justice Department, but not be straight with the American people and answer all the questions in hopes that the legal matter can be dealt with quickly and that they can move on.
The Trump Organization was ordered to pay more than $1.5 million for evading taxes. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg.
This conviction was consequential. The first time ever for a criminal conviction of former President Trump's companies.
Nine people were killed in tornadoes in the South. Georgia resident Leon Childs.
I just heard like a massive pressure of wind, and it was like, woo.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Therapists, social workers, and counselors in Wisconsin can resume trying to change clients' gender identities and sexual orientations. The Evers administration banned conversion therapy in 2020, but Republicans who control the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules lifted the ban yesterday. LGBTQ rights advocates say conversion therapy has been debunked and is even harmful. A Republican member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission says he stands by what he said in an email praising lower voter turnout among Black and Hispanic voters in Milwaukee in November. Other members of the bipartisan panel say they want Robert Spindell to resign, but Spindell says he's staying put. In sports, the Bucks fell to Miami last night 108-102. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it on the dance floor. Let's do it. I'll be here. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Store at vinaigrettemn.com.
June didn't mean more than that. I'm doing good. I mean, I'm back home after a long, long time away, back in the woods, back by the lake.
Wow, Tara, you know, we are excited to have you on. Haven't seen you. Well, I guess I am seeing you, but I've been in meetings with you, but I have not seen you in person. Congratulations on all the good things that are happening to you with your baby and all the things that are happening in a good way for you. Let's talk a little bit about a call to action, Tara. What does that look like, and how do we move forward on that?
I mean, I think there's a couple different calls to action as far as like the river contamination and like continuing to push the Army Corps of Engineers and stuff like that. But when it comes to defendants, which is, you know, why I'm here, to try to be a voice of a defendant. I think it's like, you know, Keith Ellison's back in office. You know, he's got his job, so keep pushing him as hard as we possibly can. You know, like, this is, here we are 2 years later for a lot of us. For me, it's been over 2 years. And, I mean, we're talking serious level state repression, you know, and intentional repression by the prosecutor's office in Aiken County and in other counties. You know, thinking about what's coming down the line, which is going to be some of the police brutality cases, you know, like the two of the felony defendants from Aiken County, for instance. I think about seeing those young people, very young people. One of them is just about to finish college right now and looking at years because of their felony. Sheriff Dan Guida had 10 people, including Enbridge workers, wrap ropes around their feet and pull them out of a pipeline. They scrape their bodies in horrible, you know, injuries, abrasions on their skin, bleeding, and just the sheer level of violence that happened there. And to see these charges continuing on is just like, you know, what kind of values are we really showing, that, you know, somebody that is trying to put their body on the line for the river, for the water, for the future of every living being on this planet is treated like that? When, you know, these are nonviolent crimes. We're not hurting anybody. We're trying to protect people. So, yeah. Hit up Keith.
Yeah, well, and also there's a petition that you can sign that's on drop line 3. That's the number 3, charges.com. And that's flood the courts. That's get the petition out there. Again, drop line number 3, charges.com, and sign that petition.
When, you know, something else that, you know, you might have some thoughts about too, Tara, is that, you know, what we did, a lot of us got misdemeanor charges in Minnesota, but in Wisconsin, you stand there, you're going to get a felony, because Enbridge succeeded in making a, you know, it's called the ALEC laws. There's like a whole bunch of states that pass these laws that make it, you know, even harder to exercise any First Amendment rights. And, you know, that kind of criminalization of any dissent for the benefit of fossil fuel companies is super dangerous to, you know, any semblance of democracy.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually not just fossil fuels either. I mean, ALEC works for all kinds of different entities to continue to push against the rights to demonstrate. I mean, that's really their goal, is they want to continue their militarization of not just the police, but also the I think the fear mongering and the repression of the court system and people's rights. You know, I mean, they want criminal repression. That you see someone like, you know, Steve Donziger just like finally got released off of, you know, being on a home monitor for how long, right? For defending the rights of indigenous people down in Ecuador. I mean, that's, you look at Jessica Resnicek. I mean, she's in prison right now for protecting the water over against Dakota Access Pipeline. And it's not just fossil fuels. It's, you know, Black Lives Matter protests. It's, you know, the right to choose. It's any sort of engagement of civil society, of people, about our rights to live. I mean, there's some pretty serious crackdowns happening. You know, I think about ALEC, it brings me back to years ago when we were looking at line 3. And I remember being in the Minnesota legislature at around, like, I think it was 11:30 at night. There's just a few people left. They're all sitting on the dais because they tried to pass one of those felony protest bills here. Tried like 7 different times to do it, and they failed every time. But I remember it was like 11:30 at night, and the legislators are all tired, and they're arguing back and forth. And back and forth, there's just a few of us watching. And the Democrats have the minority, but they're still saying, you know, can we get this one word taken out? You know, can we get one word taken out of the bill? And finally, the Republicans that's leading up the bill says, you know what, fine, you get your word. And I watched the ALEC oil representative walk up to the dais, whisper into that legislator's ear, and then walk back. And the guy says, you know what? Actually, I take that back. We need that word. I mean, you're literally watching an oil lobbyist whispering into the ear of a state legislator. You know, that's what happens at 11:30 at night in the Minnesota legislature, apparently, because I saw it.
Wow. Hey, Tara, we're with Tara Hauska here, and we want everyone to remember to go to dropline3charges.com. You know, I'm 61 years old, and I remember all the talk about how South, you know, Sun City in South Africa, we in the United States have been living through that, and as indigenous people for 500 years. And so we're not kidding anyone. This is not anything new, correct?
No, and I mean, I think there's like a... I was just at, I went for my first thing kind of back off of maternity leave. I went over to the Human Rights Defenders, Frontline Defenders Conference over in Ireland. And they hadn't really included a lot of representatives from North America and Canada before, because there's this kind of like understanding that, you know, brutality around the globe is considerably worse, right? I mean, like, not pain compliance, but they will actually like physically maim you in other places for standing up for your rights. But this year they did. I was there for what happened over in line three, and there was a representative from Wet'suwet'en, Slato was there. And I think it was like a kind of eye-opening for a lot of these folks to realize that these powers that are all over the globe, right? Like the colonization and presence of US military and US influence all over the globe that causes so much harm to so many people. If you're on the wrong side of an issue, it's here too, right? Like we're pushing back. We're trying to protect what we have left because they're coming for the last of it. I think it was pretty shocking for them to realize the level of surveillance harassment that is present here. You know, this is like an intensely militarized, security situation when it comes to pushing back.
Yeah. We have empty courtrooms, and when these cases are happening, how can our listening audience and people watching this all over Turtle Island support that? What ways can they support that? Can they show up, and how do we get them to know about all this?
Yeah, I mean, there's usually we've actually been doing a lot of court rallies over the last year. Some of us did continue on with our court support work. Moved from jail support into court support. Had a lot of different gatherings for different folks in the court system. You can physically show up if you want. You can share the hashtags. You can sign the petitions. You can make calls to the governor's office. I would recommend making calls to the attorney general's office, so they know it's an issue and it continues to be an issue. Those are substantive ways to help. You know that. These folks stood up for your water too.
You know, well, to say Scott Bowl has case coming up on the 11th, right? So we have some cases coming up, and I know that my case is on February 24th. There's a bunch of people whose cases are coming up, and you can go in person to some of those counties. And I have to just say, I was up in Grand Rapids a couple days ago, and they are expanding the prison and expanding the courtrooms. So, you know, that's the other thing is that it's not just about these cases. It's like, seems that there's like a lot of money involved in putting more people in prison and having more court in the North. And I think that, you know, those kind of questions really need to be asked about civil society. What are we doing here? That's your economic development plan, Grand Rapids. Put in a new jail. I mean.
Exactly. Exactly. And Tara, you know, you and Winona and many people here have been arrested for the good of the world and the good of our indigenous people. We just need to keep talking about this. And what else can you tell our people that are listening all over Turtle Island?
I mean, I think it's important to understand, like, social change is not easily made, right? It's important to understand that people didn't just go to line three to get arrested. That when we took those actions, they were not just about getting arrested and, you know, standing in front of a machine for a day or whatever and stopping it for that day. Yeah, you did actually get to do that. You got to make a multinational company stop work for a day, maybe, you know. You got people to see and to bear witness to the destruction of a sacred, you know? But I think, like, it's also important to know, like, because of those actions, we had the Army Corps of Engineers out here twice walking these lands, seeing the wild rice, seeing the drought, seeing the frack outs at the rivers. You know, that's enormous pressure to go from the, you know, grubby little band of campers out in the woods facing down a riot line. And then you got the White House nervous, you know what I mean? And their top advisors talking to you directly about their concerns about civil unrest. I mean, these are the people that are making the decisions, right? Like, it's not like we're taking these actions without thought. And I think the larger look at everything, the ripples that are created is, you know, you're inspiring people to, there is something you can do. I think in movement, especially around climate, like, it just feels so overwhelming. What can I do? How can I help? You know what I mean? It's this enormous existential question. And I signed the petitions and I sent in my letter and I called my legislator and we pushed through this bill. We did this and we did that. And we're still in the same boat. There is something else you can do. You can treat the earth like a relative and show up for your relative that's being harmed. You know, that's a very different action. I think that when you see people on the line like that, you know, you watch that spark of connectivity pass between them, between the relative that's in harm and the person that's standing in the way. You know, that's heart change, right? Like, that's more than just pushing on the legislators and the financiers and all the rest of the industry.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. Minsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through Minsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to Minsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hanhepe Washte, this is State Senator Mary Kunesh. I am a state senator in Minnesota representing communities just nestled between Minneapolis and St. Paul. I'm serving my second term in the Minnesota Senate, having spent 2 years here already, and then 4 years in the Minnesota House prior to that. For the last 25 years, I was a teacher, a library media specialist. And so a lot of the work that I will be doing and focusing on in the Minnesota Senate will be around education. My family is descendants of the Standing Rock Nation, so a lot of the work that I also will be doing and have done are for our Indian nations. I have created the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force. We created a permanent office of the Missing and Murdered Relatives in our state office. We will be passing for sure legislation to create a reward pool to help that office, but also to look at the cold cases of our missing relatives. And one way that I thought about fully funding our our office is to have a statewide specialty license plate for our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives that anyone in the state can purchase. We already have a couple of license plate, and I have them hanging up here in my office. Two of our tribes have taken the lead and created their own license plate. Boys Fort is one of them. And we'll be looking for ways to continue to address the needs of our communities. One of the ways that we will be doing that is to update our MIFPA statutes. That's the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. Here in Minnesota, it is a version of the ICWA laws, Indian Child Welfare laws here in Minnesota. And we know very well that right now the Indian Child Welfare Act is under assault, shall we say. And this summer, we started working on ensuring that if ICWA were to go away, that the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act would be strong enough that we could continue to do the work through the tribes of preserving families, addressing foster care, out-of-home placement, all of those things if the ICWA laws go away. And so that has been a big focus of mine. I asked our Senate research to go through that act earlier this year and look for areas that we could bolster it and update it. They did that. And then there is this incredible working group of lawyers and practitioners and experts that have been working on looking at the statute as well. And they have their own recommendations. And so we're going to merge those two and put together probably a state-of-the-art statute to preserve our Indian families. And we're hoping, and I think some of the other states are already waiting to hear and see the good work that we are doing. Some of the other work that we're doing here in Minnesota really focuses on the diversity of our communities. Minnesota is becoming more and more diverse. We actually have the most diverse legislature to date here in Minnesota. And we just elected a whole bunch of new folks that are going to solidify transgender rights. We plan to ban conversion therapy. We want to put safeguards for abortion access. We are very much looking at legalizing marijuana for recreation and medicinal use. And with that will come the expungement of felonies and offenders that were imprisoned or have records because of marijuana use or sales. But we have just a really dynamic group of 201 legislative members here in Minnesota. And of those, 35 of the lawmakers are lawmakers of color. 12 of them, all of them are Democrats, are part of our LGBTQ community. And for the first time, we have a black woman who is representing in the Minnesota Senate. Actually, there are three of them. So three black women for the very first time serving in the Minnesota Senate. Five of our lawmakers of color are Republicans, which is great. They are not in the Minnesota Senate. They're in the Minnesota House. But it's important to remember that diversity in your legislators, in your elected official, are the best way to have representation and make sure that we're elevating the voice of all of our folks of color, whether we're progressive or whether we're more on the conservative. We have the majority Democrats are in control of both the legislative chambers, so the House and the Senate, and the governor's office as well. It's the first time in 8 years. And so with this hat trick or trifecta, it's going to really allow us to pass proposals that we've been working on, hoping for a number of years. And so this will be the year that we do that ban on conversion therapy. It's really a top priority for our LGBTQ community members and legislators. And really safeguarding the abortion access. It has really vast implications for our LGBTQ community. And, you know, it's not for our government to decide, but it's for ourselves to decide what we do with our body and what our core values are. And we don't want to have that overreach of state government. And so that makes the abortion issue important to discussions around transgender rights and the right to receive gender-affirming care. And we heard that this week when I invited students from all over Minnesota to come to the Capitol or Zoom into our Education Finance Committee meeting and tell us about what it's like to be going to school these days in Minnesota. What are some of the barriers? What are some of the good things that are happening? And what would their message be? And one of the things that really came out loud and clear is the importance of providing mental health resources to the students as well as to to our staff members. And I was really pleased to see our students advocating for their teachers. We heard them say that teachers need to be paid more, that our teaching assistants should be treated better, that they should also have better pay, but also that they recognize that their teachers are doing the very best work that they can in the best way. They would like to find ways to reduce school violence and address those mental health issues. The one interesting thing was a number of the students talked about feeling disconnected and the lack of connection not only to their school but their classmates because of the isolation of the last couple of years. And so one student spoke about how she doesn't know how to talk to her classmates and other people anymore the way they used to because, you know, they were home, students were home, they did a lot of the...
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.